Coming back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN and our second segment here with Dr. Stephen Higgs, director of the BRI here at Kansas State University. And, you know, COVID's obviously in the news a lot here, but we did have a story just before Labor Day weekend that came out on, I think it was last Friday, from the Kansas Department of Agriculture, and they had confirmed a West Nile virus case in a horse in Shawnee County. And we haven't heard about West Nile in a while. And I know it's still around. It's obviously not eradicated. But that was a little concerning because that's pretty close to home here in Manhattan.
It is. We remain concerned about West Nile. It's a pathogen that was introduced in 1999 into the U.S. We don't know how. It's fully established here. It infects lots of mosquitoes. We've had tens of thousands of horses infected in the time it's been here, and maybe 5 million people, 2,000 of the people have died. It causes long-term potential effects on humans that are infected. We have to stay vigilant, and it's mosquito season, as you mm-hmm. know. Those little brown mosquitoes, the what they call that, house mosquitoes, Culex pipiens and Quincunx fasciatus around here, are responsible for that. It's a serious disease. There's no vaccine for it for people. There's a vaccine for horses. And people are recommended that they get their horses vaccinated against it, even around here where there's not a huge incidence of the disease. But as you've heard me say before, wear that mosquito repellent to stop being bitten by mosquitoes. It's easy to say, do behaviors, wear long sleeves and long pants when it's 100 degrees out there, easier said than done. But certainly those repellents, as long as you follow the manufacturer's recommendations, is the way to go.
Is there any cause for concern here? Because there was a horse in Shawnee County that, we need to worry about it here as far as humans are concerned?
Past experience here in Kansas will tell us that we will probably have a few human cases, but never an explosive epidemic here, fortunately. That's not to say relax, don't worry about it, but also don't be paranoid about it. And be aware. I mean, that's the main thing. If you are being bitten by those brown mosquitoes, that repellent will keep it off. And if you are a owner of horses, then the vaccine is pretty darn good from what I've heard.
All right. Well, I don't tend to always get a good look at the color of the mosquito because as soon as I see it, I flick it off my arm. But, that's a good recommendation. I'll try to keep a better eye on that here in the future.
Just kill them, right?
Yeah. I hate mosquitoes. I really do. And I imagine if you're a farmer here, I've always heard, they like to breed in those little water areas there. If you have like a body of water somewhere, make sure you kind of try to mitigate that as much as you can.
That's right. Those Culex mosquitoes that I mentioned tend to breed in more stagnant areas. The little black mosquitoes, the Aedes species, and we've got Aedes aegypti and albopictus here, they tend to breed much closer to the home and in plant pot holder, things like that. And you can just tip those out once a week and refresh the water and you get rid of those larvae.
Yeah. Well, and a good note there, as it is for horses with West Nile, vaccines are very effective. Obviously, we still see with COVID here, vaccine levels are not quite where we'd like to see them here, probably locally. I don't know what the latest figure is, but I remember it was around 40% at one point. And we have the research that seems to be backing it up. I know that it's been FDA approved, at least the Pfizer one has. I know you know a lot about vaccines. Can you kind of chime in about what you're thinking is here with the current status?
Well, certainly all three of the vaccines seem to be extremely efficacious. That is that they are protective. My understanding is that Moderna and Pfizer, which are sort of a new platform, give pretty fast protection against infection. That immunity does not seem to last forever, hence the booster shots and now the discussions of a third booster shot. The Johnson & Johnson one, from what I've been told, the immunity takes a little longer, but it's longer lasting. So you know, it's kind of a personal choice as which one you get. But I'm somebody that believes very much in vaccines. Influenza, as soon as that vaccine comes out, I'm down at my local pharmacy getting that. Rather get the vaccine than get the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'll probably be any time soon here. I will start seeing flu vaccines. I think I got mine last November, if I remember mm-hmm. right. Let's see, what else do we have? We have, another thing I wanted to get your thought on here. We've been hearing a lot about ivermectin and how some people have been trying to use that here for treatment of COVID. And there's some risks associated with that. I've seen that it's locked up at some of the stores that it's available at as well.
Really? I've not seen it. I've heard about it. I mean, it is an anti-parasitic drug. It's not designed for viruses. I don't know quite why or how it would work on viruses. But, you know, I'm not a physician. I can't give medical advice, Brandon. That's right. My get out here. But I've from what I've read, it is certainly not recommended that that is used as a protection for getting COVID.
Okay, fair enough. Well, it's interesting to see where we're at here with the Delta variant, and hopefully we'll get through this at some point. But you know, where we were at 4 months ago is not where we're at now, and it's unbelievable to hear it in the news still every day. You know, with these and there's going to be more variants, probably more than likely.
Oh yeah, I mean these viruses are changing genetically all the time. It's what they do. The changes in this coronavirus are not as substantial as the influenza viruses. I mean, the influenzas are changing so much in terms of their surface proteins that previous vaccines don't protect against, and that's why you get that annual vaccine. The COVID isn't like that, but it is evolving. It changes to be more infectious, maybe not necessarily more more dangerous or more pathogenic. But we will continue to see new variants, and they'll come, they'll go, and we'll keep hearing about them for a while, I think, Brandon.
Yeah, probably. Do we have a caller? Okay, I thought I saw the phone light up there briefly, but apparently not. Anything else we haven't spoken on you want to make sure to get out to the public here? Or if people want to learn more about the BRI, how can they do that?
Oh, well, we've got a website, my email. I mean, based on the number of emails I get every day, everybody in the world seems to have my email address, Brandon. But if they're interested, I'm, as you know, I'm always willing to discuss the BRI and tell the world what great things we do here.
We're pretty fortunate here at K-State in Manhattan to have the research that we have, and I don't think people value it, but I don't know if maybe it's a little underappreciated sometimes.
I think it really is, and I welcome the opportunity to chat with you and have your listeners hear about the BRI. This Midwest culture that I've come into almost 10 years ago now is very modest and unassuming. We don't like to brag about things. That's not the nature of the people here. And that's wonderful, but it's also a problem when you're trying to get news out and you really do have things to be proud of and to boast about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Higgs, thank you for coming out here today, and we really appreciate it. And we'll bring you on here probably again in next month or so.
I was going to mention, mm-hmm. you said that I could mention the Raleigh County Police.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we take our law enforcement, our first responders, for granted. Obviously, as 9/11 comes up, we're reminded of how important they are and what dedicated people they are. But on a personal note, about 10 days ago, I had three cars broken into, locked cars in my driveway. And I have to say that the Raleigh County were very responsive. I can even name Officer Spade, who came around, empathetic, very knowledgeable, very professional. A bad experience where I met new people and saw just how, what an incredible job they do. They've even caught the the criminals, if we can call them that, who broke into our car and stuff. So remarkable. Obviously, K-State Police, also I know Ronnie Grice well. He'll be talking tomorrow at the 9/11 memorial thing. But my personal thanks to all of the law enforcement and first responders out there.
All right. Well said. Appreciate it. And thank you again. That's great that you got that resolved here, and they were so helpful. Dr. Stephen Higgs, our guest here today. Also, thanks to our Fall Apple Pie Day guests from Fort Riley, an event going on again September 25th. That's going to wrap it up for In Focus here this morning.